The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 594. Interview with Danny Vincent. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out the barbershop hairstyle print. That's right, you can get the print that hung on Floyd's wall. Well, it's real close anyway. You can get it and hang it on your wall and give people haircuts.
If you have a license, of course. Well, but if you're going to do that, yeah, you're also going to want a Floyd's Barbershop comb. Yeah, head over to Weavers. You can get Floyd's Barbershop, Two Chairs No Waiting, official barber comb. You can get that way. Yeah, you can get that over at Yeah. Anyway, head over to Weavers Department Store and check it out.
Thanks, Floyd. All right, so, and also, I want to thank all our contributors and the folks who are bringing you the podcast now, which is the folks from the attendees of the Mayberry Meetup 2020. Thank you for your support of the show. And thank you for being here with us. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be, or today, whenever you're listening to it, we're going to be having a great interview with Danny Vincent. Now, Danny is a friend of mine that I have met at the George Lindsay Film Festival years ago. And since then, we have just become good friends, and he is a huge fan of the Andy Griffith Show. We've done stuff together like, you would not believe this, but we did a zombie run. You may not know what that is, but it's where people in a race, they take off on a run, and then there's these zombies that you release about a minute and a half later, and they chase the people who are in front of him. And so Danny is an actor, and he has been on things like The Walking Dead, which is a reason he would have been like the grand marshal or whatever you call it, the starter for the zombie run that Otis and Floyd were at. So we've done all kinds of really fun things together, and including, of course, George Lindsay Film Festival over the years. Danny's been in 86 movies that are on the IMDb. You can go and check him out there. He's been in so many things, and we'll be talking some about that tonight. But I wanted to focus, because he's like us. He's like you and me. He's a fan of the Andy Griffith Show. Yeah, it's not just acting. He's a huge fan of the Andy Griffith Show, and that's what I wanted to focus on, at least for this first part of the interview. And then we'll hear some more from him in part two, because we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and it ended up stopping. But Danny was a trooper and stuck with me through the whole thing. So I know you're going to enjoy it. Stick around till the end. After Danny's interview, we still got This Week in Mayberry History. So don't run off and leave us, because I know you're going to enjoy it. So let's head over and hear part one of Danny's interview. I know you're going to enjoy it. So sit back and enjoy yourself. So Danny and Alan, take it away. Hey, Danny, it's so good to have you here on Two Chairs No Waiting with us. I've been bragging on you what a big Mayberry fan you are. And, I have been so lucky to get to meet you at the George Lindsay Film Festival. And that's how I kind of got to know you. But I know you because you're a Mayberry fan through and through. So tell us a little bit. I mean, what got you hooked on the Andy Griffith Show?
Well, we were probably about 6 or 7 years old when it came out. And I say we, my twin brother, Randy, he, and for the chat room, we're the Milo boys, Rand and Dan, by the way, there.
That's right.
But all of a sudden, there the South was right there on our television. There we were. And very popular show, of course. But at our house, it was extremely popular, and we watched it. And then we were fortunate, just like you and everybody else in the world, to get syndication. And I remember in college, we scheduled our classes around the Andy Griffith Show when it was coming on TBS, and which was revolutionary because Ted Turner was the first one to give you back-to-back episodes, and that was unheard of, you know. But it was such a bargain; you got one for free, you know. The house that we lived in, we had like a 5-bedroom house in college. We had 5 guys, and we were all fans, one of the roommates actually was nicknamed Goober. We try to out trivia each other, and serious out trivia each other, get down on it serious, you know, so we became that just intensifies everything. But no, the show was honest. It was us. It was the South, and the Andy Griffith kept it honest, and it showed. The camera picked every bit of that up, and I see it. I see it every day. I see it right now, watching it right over there. It's I don't know what a day would be without it. You know, I mean, honestly, really.
Well, how did you, I know you, like I said, I met you at George Lindsay's Film Festival. So how did you meet George? How did that come about?
Well, I went to the University of North Alabama, where he graduated as a student there, and under, I think it was Florence Teachers College or Florence State University, maybe. But he came back and paid back to the university there with a film festival. And I was a fledgling actor at that time. Could call myself one. I'd had some jobs and been paid to do it, you know. So so much more work down the road if I'd only known. And of course, at that time, I thought, I'm in the big time. I made it, man. I did a music video for Alan Jackson, by George. You know?
Hey.
Which is big stuff, and I don't mean to downplay that, but I'm still very proud of that. I missed the first one completely. Missed it, didn't even know it existed. And I'm driving back actually from Nashville from an audition to a Toby Keith audition, a music video audition. I hear a replay of WSM radio interview with George talking about he's going to be on this weekend's Opry, and he mentions the UNA, George Lindsay UNA Film Festival. And I thought, give me a break, man. So when I got home, I got my contacts back home in Florence there to check everything out and find it. And sure enough, and so I started just coming as a guest, just showing up, you know, realized that, you know, I've got a dog in this hunt, you know, so I can maybe help out a little bit. And I've been on the advisory board now for, I guess, Lord, 19 years, something right. like that. And of course, through him, Lord works in great ways, Alan, as you know. He just does. And we got to meet each other, and I got to meet, Lord, everybody else. One of those Nashville reunions that they had that you were at, exactly, yeah. mm-hmm. you talked about before. I went as a guest, again, out in the audience, sitting there watching it all happen right in front of my eyes. And Don Knotts was there and did the choir yeah. skit and the baseball skit. I got on one of George's T-shirts, one of his festival T-shirts. And after it was over with, as you know, they just come down to the edge of the apron of the stage and greet you and shake your hand, and just like the old Opry days, you know. George spots me, and he knew by then who I was, and I'd been to the festival a couple of years and whatnot. And he said, "Come backstage." And man, I couldn't grab my crap fast enough and get up those stairs to get back there. And there was a guard that stopped me, and he said, "He's with me." And that, boom, man, I'm with him, you know. So, oh, wow. Oh, man, Thelma Lou hugged my neck, and I got to shake Ernest T's hand and the Dillards, and met Don Knotts, and Don Knotts has been an actor, I have to say. one of our rules that we have to go by is that we can't be starstruck. You don't do that. You can't. You got to work. They're, you know, you're in a working situation, and they're an associate. And of course, I wasn't working, but Don Knotts is the only one that I've ever been tongue-tied, spellbound, just in awe of standing there looking at him, shaking his hand. I couldn't believe I was there. It was, and George, bless his heart, I miss him so much. I got to know him for last 14 years of his life. And like I say, that's how I met you guys, met you and Kenneth and all those great tribute artists. Like I say, being an actor has kind of opened up the last half of my life, really and truly. I got to do and get to do so much stuff, so many things, meet so many people. And,
oh, yeah.
And this is part of it, of course, and then found the podcast. And
The podcast isn't quite like getting to go backstage at the Opry and see Don Knotts and Betty Lynn and everything. So as a fan of the Andy Griffith Show, I mean, you know, just hearing you tell that story, I'm just fired up for you because that is an experience there, getting to go and meet these people and just and have George is introducing you or taking you around with them. I mean,
he's and he's showing off that T-shirt, man. You know, George, it would have been a great salesman. Of course, he was a salesman. He's a great friend, great good guy. We had some great talks and great advice. I remember once I had to read for a bad guy. I never had read for a bad guy. And I knew he had done some Westerns and done that. And I just asked him straight up. I said, is there a trick to it, or is it just another deal? And he said, no, he said, there's a trick to it. He said, you've got to kind of step out of your shoes into somebody else's. But he said, listen to that director. All you got to do is just listen to that director. And I hear him right now. I pass that advice on to you, young man. You're about to enter the world of cinema.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the same thing he told me. Just listen to your director and then just let it all fly, you know. But it's we understood the language. He knew where I was coming from. I knew what he was talking about. And we had some great talks. He liked it. I don't know. You noticed. You know, George.
Oh, yeah.
He would like when he'd love it when you'd quote one of his lines out of stuff.
Yeah, he.
Oh, man. That's oh, right. Boy. I remember we were at a presidential meeting right before one of the festivals one night. We were at the president's house and had a big cocktail party and everything, big fancy fancy. And he come up and asked me, he said, man, have you tried any of those little crackers with the chicken salad on it with that half cut of grape on it? I said, yeah. I said, I sure have, George. I said, those are good. And I said, Helen and Andy asked me to stay and have a sandwich. And he just lit up, and it was like I opened the door.
Now, one of the things about George, he did a lot of the actors from didn't necessarily remember their lines from the show that much, but George really did. He would appreciate it when you said a line to him that he had said out or something. Yeah, he knew that he had said that, and
we were doing Pucka Pucka. and those series of little, and I was saying chahwee chahwee, and he said no, it's chahwee chahwee, and I had to get it right. You know, he
that's
was
right.
Are we blinking out? Looks like
no, you're good. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, he was so neat. Now he told you a story about when he lost the Gomer Pyle. He was up for the role of Gomer, and he lost it to Jim Nabors, and he told you a little story about that. And
well, I asked him again on the actor side. Once I knew him good enough, and felt like I could get away with it without him hitting me, you know, or whatever, because I knew it had to be a sore spot. And I asked him. I said, "What did you do?" And he said, "Well, I had just bought a new color television." Back then, they were, you know, bought a big, huge one of those console jobbers, one of those big boys, you know. And he said, I came home and I put my foot right through the picture screen. Mm. He kicked it in. And he said, my wife thought I'd gone crazy. And he said, I guess I did just a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And But he then, right immediately followed that up with, but Andy Griffith had other things for me.
Yeah.
He never gave up on me. He was on my side. He kept, you know, those positive remarks coming up, and he kept me on the payroll. I'd come in and do table reads and be kind of a technical advisor on country and Southern. And I thought how slick that was, man. You know, he had to know, Andy had to know that I was fixing to crush him, you know, and what in the world we're going to do, what we're going to tell him, And normally, I guess you would think of going totally opposite direction of people like that in this business. And here he stayed with it, and it was his godsend.
I mean, it turned out pretty good for Goober. I mean, now he wasn't ever Gomer Pyle, you know, he wasn't that, but boy, Goober is pretty good with George.
You know, you and I have had this conversation about. You know, like Tom Selleck, I think we talked about Tom Selleck was originally offered Raiders of the Lost Ark, mm-hmm. and he turned it down. Now, we can both see him in that role. For sure, it would have been totally different, but that's Harrison Ford's role. Because he didn't get it, you know, that's – so that the way it works out is George was not supposed to be Gomer Pyle. You know, as it turns out, it, Lord had other things for him, you know, and sometimes it's a tough delivery, but you finally understand it later. You've gone through that. I know I have too, but it's my first movie that I ever got was a disaster. U.S. Marshals with Tommy Lee Jones, and I was playing part of a state trooper. And it was my first ever lines in a movie. I told everybody, Alan. I told the world.
Yeah,
I
sure everybody. You would. Yeah.
So, well, proud as I could be, you know, you finally get something, and you got a name that everybody knows. And about 3 days before we were to go shoot that thing, the agent calls and says that. Warner Brothers has written that part out of the script. They will not need you. Mm. And oh my goodness gracious, it crushed me. It was going to be a nice paycheck for one. That's the first thing that I saw go out the window. And then what am I going to tell everybody? How am I going to explain this? I told everybody, and now, you know, it was terrible. And I honestly thought, well, that's it. I hear you, Lord. I'm not going to do this. I'm gonna go back to selling stuff and get into marketing, do what I know I'm supposed to be doing. It's not where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And this business has done everything in the world that you've always heard it did to me right now. It just now hit me right in the head with a board, man. It got me.
Right.
And I thought, no, that ain't this. And about, I guess, a week or two before that, I had read for a Captain D's commercial. And agent calls and says, you got the Captain D's gig. And I'd have gotten about $900 and this Captain D's gig paid like $3,000. So it was great that I told Lord, I hear you. I'm back in. We're going to try to do our best we can. Here we sit now.
Wow.
All that good work behind us there.
All right, so that's the end of part one with Danny, and we're going to head straight on into part two. So, Danny, you told me a story when we were talking previously about when you were going to be in a movie called A Good Baby.
Right, yeah.
Tell that story. That's a great story.
Well, the agent called and said this. She said, you're going to – Yeah, I've got a role in a movie for you. You're going to audition for. It's a guy. It's a gas station owner in North Carolina, and he is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious, George could phone this one in. Now, thank goodness they didn't call him. You know, so but it it was a movie called A Good Baby. David Strathairn. Academy Award nominated actor, and Henry Thomas, the guy that did Elliot in E.T. and big movie, and really, as it turned out, was my second movie that I had won a part in, but it was the first one that I would be seen talking in, put it that way. And so it was a big, big deal. Well, I took that to heart. By then, I knew George for a few years, and I thought, well, hey, I mean, you know, success is success, and I'm still new at this, so let me just try. And so I did a couple of his mannerisms, the way he stood, body position, posture, and of course, the Southern delivery was easy. We were in Asheville, North Carolina, roughly around in that area, and next thing you know, I got the role. But so we went to shoot it, and I asked Wardrobe for a couple of things that were George related. I had them hem the pants up a little bit short, you know, like the floods coming type thing. And I had a rag in my back pocket, and I had a tire gauge in my front pocket. And they said, yeah, to everything. It was no big, you know, nothing big. And but I've been very fortunate there since. And I told the story one night at a award ceremony there at his festival. They let me enter a good baby into the festival, and it won. And like I say, it wasn't because they knew me, because nobody knew me back then. But I told that story, and he'll hear again. He appreciated everything, anything related to us honoring him and his role. Thank goodness, you know, film is forever, and as we've talked about, and it's there, so you can see it. HBO bought the movie. It shows every now and again, but you can find it out there. It's called A Good Baby.
Wow. I just love that story. And, yeah, the reason I had asked him the story, he's got a lot of stuff in his background behind him, and he was showing that to me the other night, and he has the tire gauge laying there. So maybe we'll get to see that later, or do a little special show about that, some of that stuff.
Okay.
But that's what brought that up, and I thought that was a great story, because I can just see George. I know George Lindsay took Tim Pettigrew, who does the tribute artist for George, for Goober. He took him to the side and explained to him exactly how everything went in the pocket, the right direction, and then how you do that, you know, little, you know, where he puts his thumb and his forefinger together and kind of clicks it out at you. And he made sure that Tim knew exactly how you're supposed to do that. Saying that he had told you exactly how to say Chowee, you know.
Chowee. He was a perfectionist. You need to be. We're responsible as actors for a lot of our continuity, and that's on us. We need to keep up with what hand did I have in my pocket, and how was I leaning, how was I set, and what position was my body, to remember that. And I could tell just by knowing George that on the set he was probably much like me, very much. I've been accused of being fussy about my hair. From makeup and hair people. And I'm not. I'm fussy about continuity. I want it to look day one just like it does on day 15. So it's, don't change horses in the middle of the stream on me. Right. I'll catch it. But, that's a duty of us. That's one of our responsibilities, I think.
When you had talked about in your acting career that you had learned a lot from the Andy Griffith Show, or you had taken a lot of cues.
I stole from everybody on that show, man. I mean, yeah. And I remember talking to George about it and told him I stole from him, on A Good Baby, how I stood, a position that I took. And he said, that's fine. Just let people know who you stole from, you know. So he understood and he knew, you know, and he said the same thing. He's done the same thing. He, John Wayne stole from an old cowboy actor, a way he stood, and I say stole, you know what I mean?
Oh, borrowed. Yeah, yeah.
We're just borrowing it temporary and if the director doesn't like it, he'll let me know very quickly, you know. it worked before, why not again?
Right.
You know, so Andy's method and his pauses and his he talks like we talk, and I mean, I get a lot of Southern characters. I don't know where that comes from, but it's I read for a lot of good old boys. And, you know, his exaggerations and his, you know, stuff, it's, mm-hmm. It's in everything I've done. You can go see it and find it. I see it. It's, Walk the Line. I remember using a Southern term and, in a rehearsal, you only have two chances to do this and get away with it is at an audition and at a rehearsal. You can't do it while they're taking it. But, and I did it, and here comes the director, man. Right after I did that, he came up to me and he said, "Are you from the South?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Throw in as much of that as you can, all that wrecking winds and stuff like that." And that's in the film. It stuck. Hotter Than a Pistol, and that's Walk the Line with Reese Witherspoon. And she understood it. She was from Nashville. She knew good and well what I was doing. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, I think you and I have discussed sometimes. Saying Coca-Cola or Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's Coca-Cola. You know, yeah, that's right.
Coca-Cola toughens it up real quick.
And
all you Southerners out there will understand what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's exactly right. We do, completely. So which one of the Andy Griffith shows is your favorite? Do you have one that comes? I mean, are you like me where it changes every day or two? But
well, you know, it's weird. I liked the Scary House, the haunted house, up until for some reason. I know it's like it just changes. I guess I don't know, but for some reason I liked it. But when I started acting, I started noticing how I enjoy exteriors. That's shooting outside instead of shooting inside or trying to fake it in a studio or a soundstage or something. I like going outside. I like watching Gunsmoke when they shot outside. You know, they did all those exteriors. So the one that I can think of it's not a famous one. It's not a popular one or whatever, but it morally, you know, it's got a good moral to it. And of course, all of his do, but it's the Robin Hood episode with the bum out in the woods. For some reason, that evidently, man, that Franklin Reservoir must really have been something in its day, and I'm sure it's still there. But I've seen it in Dennis the Menace and mm-hmm. All kinds of shows from out that way. But I hope Stark and them are able to put some of that in Mayberry Man, just because, you know?
Right?
If the viewers don't know, that's that lake that they film on the opening of the show.
Oh, yeah, Myers Lake or wherever Andy and Opie were fishing anyway. I guess they never really said which lake it was, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there. I went with my little boy, Adam, when he was little, about Opie's size, and we actually videoed myself and him, and he ran up and got the rock through it. Oh, man.
That'd give me chills. See, that's like standing backstage holding Don Knotts' hand going, "I'm holding Don Knotts' hand." I'll never forget that. I was so speechless.
Well, I told that similar story that, you know, I told about, you know, he was wearing the salt and pepper suit, and I said, "Can I touch it?" And he just kind of grinned and raised his arm up for me to touch it. He's thinking, "Wow, a grown man's wanting to touch my suit coat. What's wrong with him?"
That's it. Hey, you got to touch it, man. You know, hey, yeah. I'm jealous as all get out. Yeah. He had that suit on back there, but I never thought about the suit. And I thought, well, you're lucky to even be standing here, you know.
So. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, wow. Shoot fire. Well, I don't know. It's just been, like I say, a day without something about the show is just there's something missing about that day to me. It always just has been. And that's, 60 years now?
Well, so, and I think the people who listen or watch this podcast, I think we all completely understand that. Because, boy, I've been doing this podcast for almost 12 years. And, you know, we've got a lot of listeners or viewers that have been listening for that whole time. So I apologize to all of them. But thank you. But it's just, I don't know. There's just something about it. It just makes you smile, relieves the stress, and you can, you feel good when it's over. You know, something is happy.
I'm a child of the 50s. I don't mind admitting that. A lot of people wouldn't try to acknowledge that, but I don't care. I'm proud of that. And life was much easier back then. And it was, Mayberry-ish, you know, and my grandparents lived in a small town in Alabama there, and it was even more. I could go there, and it would slow you down. It was good. It was all good. We'd go to the woods, go to the country, and drink out of a spring popping up out of the ground, and
I've been there.
Yeah.
Well, man, Danny, I really appreciate you being on here. Is anything else in particular Andy Griffith Show related that we hadn't hit on that you wanted to hit on?
There's no telling.
There's so much. You know, we've talked over the years, you and I, different things, and just your love of the show, and just how good of friends you were with George, and I just really appreciate you. You know.
Well, I appreciate you. Anything to keep the show's franchise alive and going and rolling and continuing. I'm for always. You know that, and we were doing the same thing when we were young, Alan, as Jim Clark. We just never put a business behind it that much and made money off of it. But of course, that's the Jim. Bless his heart. I told him the last time we saw him there at the film festival that he was the mothership, you know, but the addiction that he had. And like you said, everybody watching will understand what we're talking about. It.
Right.
And how much I appreciate you just letting me do this.
We've been talking about it for years, and I just never, with all the, you know, we're in that COVID situation right now. So everybody had gotten used to making videos and doing the Zoom. So this was just a really good opportunity. And plus, because of that, you're kind of at home, so that helped catch you.
I've got another movie popping up here next month, and I got one that'll be out probably this fall too, called, Blue Ridge. It's on INSP Network. Just get a plug in while I'm here.
Danny's been in 86. He's got 86 credits right now in IMDb. Right now. He'll have some more later.
Hey, man, Lord's got his hand on me. Always has. And for the last 25 years, the projects that I've got to work on,
you've gotten to do so many cool things. I can tell you, we own Legend of Five Mile Cave. We own a copy of that. You know, we have a DVD of it. That's a good movie that you're in as well. So I mean, he has been. I mean, just go and look at his IMDb. I'm sure I'll talk about this during the podcast, but I have already told everybody some of the things you're in. But it has been a blessing to get to know you and just hear. And you're just you're a Mayberry person. You know, that's what'll come across to anybody that ever gets to meet you. And I appreciate it.
It's easy to do that, isn't it?
That's
the easy way, right there.
And Danny mentioned earlier his brother Randy. I should mention him. They're actually twins. So if you ever meet them, it's if they're together, you can tell them apart. But I'm not sure if they'd have to say a few words before I'd figure out which one is which.
Yeah, you can tell us apart after about a minute.
Yeah, I can.
That's kind of fun. This movie that I've got coming up, like I said, I read for it last week, and. Man, it's good to finally get back in.
Congratulations. Danny, I am so glad. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast. This has been it's been a blast, and it's just always good to catch up with you. I really have
enjoyed you on Monday nights. We'll see you next Monday.
Definitely so thank you.
Okay. All right, buddy.
All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was Danny Vinson. Thank you, Danny, for taking the time to be a part of the podcast. Great Mayberry guy. And isn't it nice to run across people that are just Mayberry people? So many of us, you guys, you that are listening to this and watching here, you guys are Mayberry folks. And it is always just so nice to get to spend some time with you and visit. And Danny has been such a fun thing. He spent a lot of time with me, by the way. We will have bonus episodes coming up in September, more than likely, of Danny showing us around in his, I don't want to call it a man cave, his office, where he has all kinds of memorabilia and stuff there. And by looking around and seeing the memorabilia, he comes up with several more Mayberry stories, plus other stories that are about some other movies that I think you'll find interesting. So I definitely want to encourage you to check that out when it comes out. The Mayberry Man movie will be coming out or be filming starting in September. So we're going to take a break here on the podcast for probably almost the month of September. But don't worry, there will be a special episode with Danny. I've already told you about that one. And I guarantee you there'll be some special little posts and announcements coming from the set of Mayberry Man, the movie. So you guys don't feel like you're going to get left out, because we'll keep you informed and keep things going. But thank you again, Danny, for everything. And let's head over and hear from our roving reporter, Randy Turner, with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Last week, I did a report on William Keane, who played Reverend Tucker in The Andy Griffith Show and Mayberry RFD, and noted there was not a lot of background information for him. That situation is also true for many character actors who appeared in Mayberry. While they may not have had the longest resumes in Hollywood, they still contributed to the classic series we love so much and deserve to be celebrated. However, little information is available about their private lives. Harry Arney is a perfect example. Harry was born in Minnesota on August 6, 1907. Whatever he did in his earlier life, we do know he began appearing in films in 1947. Harry filmed his first small, uncredited film role while 39 years old, but he had recently turned 40 when Joe Palooka in The Knockout was released on September the 20th, 1947. 3 years later, Harry again had another small role, but this time in the next-to-the-last episode of the television series Dick Tracy. It is interesting to note that Harry's first two roles were both in properties based on comic strips. Joe Palooka was a popular comic strip that debuted in 1930. While the word Palooka generally means an inept boxer, Joe was a good-natured prize fighter who was not fond of fighting, but always defended the little guy. The strip eventually led to the appearance of Joe Palooka in lots of other media, including comic books and old-time radio, with Carl Swinson as a regular member of the radio cast. Carl would later play Mr. McBeebe in The Andy Griffith Show. A film version of Joe Palooka was first released in 1934, which included Jimmy Durante as the supporting character Nobby Walsh. That initial movie was followed by 9 low-budget two-reelers, shot over just 2 years by Vitaphone for Warner Brothers, with Shemp Howard as Nobby. When Joe Palooka returned to feature films in 1946, they were shot almost as quickly as the two-reelers. 11 films were shot between 1946 and 51. Harry's small role in his film debut was in the third of this franchise, released in 1947, after the first two had both been released the same year in 1946. Harry's television debut in an episode of Dick Tracy was just one of the many media in which the hard-nosed detective appeared. Inspired by Elliot Ness, Dick Tracy debuted in the comics in 1931. Over the character's history, he's been heard in old-time radio and on a special children's album with Don Ameche voicing the character. Dick Tracy has also appeared in comic books, regular books, films, and television. The first television series was the one in which Harry appeared. Harry did most of his acting in the 1950s. He had a small part in the 1952 Western Bend of the River, starring Jimmy Stewart, Aunt Bee's favorite actor, Rock Hudson, and Julie Adams, who would later play County Nurse Mary Simpson. Chubby Johnson, who would play the feuding Mr. Carter, was in the film, and Francis Bavier. No wonder Rock Hudson was Aunt Bee's favorite. In films, Harry tended to play bit parts or even background actors, such as appearing as simply a spectator in the 1956 Rocky Graziano biopic, Somebody Up There Likes Me, starring Paul Newman in the title role, and also featuring Everett Sloan, who would later appear in Mayberry as moonshiner Jubal Foster. Harry appeared twice in another comic strip and comic book vehicle, showing up in a 1957 and then a 1958 episode of Adventures of Superman. He had roles in episodes of the anthology shows Damon Runyon Theater and Cavalcade of America. Harry also appeared in TV series such as Gangbusters, The Loretta Young Show, and The Thin Man. He ended the 1950s in an episode of The Lawless Years, where he played Benny the Bum. After this, Harry was cast as a vagrant more than once. Harry only appeared three times in the 1960s. In 1961, he was in an episode of North to Alaska, and in 1962, he was in The Interns as an elevator operator. But in 1966, Harry had the chance to shine in the role of a vagrant. Harry's more pivotal role was in The Andy Griffith Show, in the episode The Barbershop Quartet. Harry played Kelly, a vagrant whom escaped prisoner Jeff Nelson ran into after fleeing from helping Andy in a barbershop quartet competition. Kelly had previous dealings with Andy and related how humanely Andy treated others, causing Jeff to reconsider what he had done. Harry only appeared two more times on screen, both in the 1970s. He had a small and credited part in the 1973 TV movie The Blue Knight. His last role was as Bum Number One in a 1975 episode of Policewoman. Harry passed away in 1984. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourself, care for one another, and take Andy's advice and act like somebody.
Wow. Thank you, Randy, for that great report. Always learn something from Randy. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great stuff he's doing related to the Andy Griffith Show, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun stuff that he's doing around the Andy Griffith Show. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Randy and Danny. Yeah, there we go. I think I tried to mix their names together. For everything y'all did tonight, a lot of great information provided by these two great guys during the podcast. And man, I just appreciate all the time both of you spend just giving us a little bit more Mayberry in the world. So Danny, thank you for all the time you spent. He had some technical difficulties. I mentioned it in there where we lost connection and then we reestablished the connection and then it went fine. We had talked over on Zoom an hour and a half one day, just as a pre-call, basically, just us visiting, really, and never a problem. And then when we start trying to record, of course, we ran into problems. But Danny stuck it out with me, and we got some really good stuff. And we've got another, I don't know, 30 minutes of information that he's going to provide later. So be watching the Two Chairs feed because it'll show up in there. And we'll get to hear some more from Danny probably over into September. So sometime in September, it'll post and we'll be able to watch it. I'm saving it because it's good. And since we're going to take a break there in September from the podcast I want you to still have some stuff that I know is good coming toward you. And I did talk to Randy about about taking the break, and he said he didn't mind. I guess he's had, it's a lot of work for what he's doing too. So thank you both. Thank you all for sticking it out. This was a little bit of a long episode. I would love to hear from you. If you'll give me a call at 888-684-8415, I'd like to hear your thoughts. What'd you think about Danny's interview? What'd you think? Did you enjoy it? Love to hear it. I'm sure Danny would too. So give me a call. 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. You can head over to twochairsnowaiting.com. That information that I just gave is there, and you'd be able to find it and send me information directly from there as well. So, guys and gals, thank you for being here with me. It's always fun to have you as we just spend some time in Mayberry and visit. So until next time, everybody, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs.